Fall is just around the corner, and home is the center of it all. At Ashley, seasonal decorating's a breeze with their range of designs and materials. Snuggle up on a family-friendly sectional or an ultra-modern sofa. Or gather outside and enjoy the crisp, cool air with a new fire pit or conversation set. From minor refreshes to total overhauls, Ashley has the essentials to make your home fall functional and fabulous. Shop in-store or visit ashley.com today.
Is that the new iPhone 15 Pro?
Oh yeah, it's made with titanium and the Pro camera is epic. Just got it at T-Mobile.
Nice.
Yeah, and I got their Go 5G Next plan, so now I have the freedom to upgrade my phone every year.
I gotta get to T-Mobile.
Take charge of your upgrades at T-Mobile.com.
Phone now via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. 1 year upgrade requires financing, qualifying device and upgrading in good condition after 6 months with half paid off.
Halfway through our second show of the work week, our Monday night, get thee behind me Monday into a Tuesday morning. Dust settling on week three in the NFL. Wowzers, can you believe that heading into week four? Man, once we get here, life comes at you fast in the NFL. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Coming up this hour, QB news with some updates on injuries. And also those injuries that aren't QB related. Well, I guess they're all QB related technically, especially if you're talking about a receiver or a running back. But some updates, teams that took hard losses this weekend. Is there something else going on behind the scenes? Or teams that are now 0-3 looking at you, Minnesota, and what has to change for that to... What has to change for that to be a stretch of adversity, but not the final nail in the coffin, right? If the Vikings continue down this road where they're always losing the turnover battle, and now 9 turnovers in 3 games for the Vikings is a big reason why they haven't yet secured a win. Well, something's got to change or they're doomed, even in a division that many people believed was wide open. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Lots of you sending me your kind words about the half marathon that I ran. I'm using my air quotations, ran. There were a few times where it did not feel like I was running. It felt like I was barely moving, actually. One of those where you're running in place, so to speak. I'll tell you that story here momentarily. And then also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. And for those of you who have already caught our new video on YouTube, well, you're getting there first. We haven't even shared it on social media yet, but we promised that we would give you the answers to the questions that you have posed to us now for 6 weeks. It's about 6 weeks since I made the announcement, shared my big news that I will be getting married in December. And so now here we are 2.5 months from wedding day, and you all have been peppering us with questions for weeks. And so we've put up part one of Ask Amy Walks Down the Aisle, and you can check that out on YouTube. So yeah, haven't shared the link on Twitter, haven't shared the link on Facebook, just haven't been able to do it with the football weekend unfolding and requiring so much attention, but it is up there. Part one for Ask Amy Walks Down the Aisle. I don't know if my family discovered it yet. My brother usually gets to videos about 3 weeks after they've been posted. Of course, I hope he would know most of the information in the video. It's hard because the family's so spread out, and I've done a lot of the planning with my mom and have made a couple of trips to Houston to go through appointments and for Bob and I to be able to put together guest list and go see venues and do taste testings and all that jazz. But a lot of the planning I'm doing remotely, which, yeah, it's kind of like a destination wedding for me. So check out the first video, part two, with your frequently asked questions. This was the final category compiled by producer Jay with the questions that he's getting most frequently. So once you watch part one, you're going to want to watch part two. That's not posted yet, but we'll do that in time for the Hump Show so we can share that with you as well. So whatever social media site you use, present tense, with which to connect, we're glad to have you on board After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Would you like to hear my major confession? And I swear to you, this is not a joke. I'm being 100% honest with you, and I'm not surprised. Just, I will say this as a precursor. A lot of times when my brain and my routine are revolving around a particular sport, whatever the season happens to be, when I've got one particular sport on my mind a lot, I tend to dream about it. So it wouldn't be odd for me to say to you that I dreamed about football during the day on Monday. I obviously sleep during the day. That wouldn't surprise me, nor should it surprise you. Here's the crazy surprise, though. I woke up Monday, probably early afternoon. Unfortunately, it was not a great day of sleeping. I woke up early afternoon, right after lunch, and realized I had been dreaming about Taylor Swift. Of course. Of course I was. Oh my gosh. Forget football. That wouldn't have been a major shocker. But I was dreaming about Taylor Swift because of all the conversation regarding Tay-Tay since she showed up at Arrowhead Stadium. And like I said to start the show, if you hadn't heard the news or the reports, apparently Travis Kelce bought out or rented time at a restaurant and everybody else had to clear out so that he could have a private party with Taylor Swift. I don't know who else was there. I guess the question will be posed to Patrick Mahomes, of course, because everyone has to run to Pat and ask him. The number of times I've heard either Andy Reid or Patrick Mahomes now giving their answers to the question about, have you met Taylor Swift? Or did you know Taylor Swift was coming to the game? Or my favorite one is about setting up Travis so that he could catch a touchdown with Taylor in attendance. And yeah, Patrick readily admits I had to get Travis the ball so he could get a touchdown. And then he went on to say, but, you know, he just made up his own route, and so I had to throw him the ball wherever he showed up. Oh, my gosh, guess what I'm seeing right now on TV? I just saw it for a second. Boomer! Boomer was being honored with his spot in the Bengals Ring of Fame, or they call it the Ring of Honor, and I hadn't seen the video yet. I just looked up, and there he was with Chad Johnson. You know, Ocho Cinco. They went into the Ring of Honor together. That's awesome. I do need to go and watch the whole video from halftime, but I hadn't seen it yet. So way to go, Booms. I know he's supposed to be back at work doing his morning show on Tuesday. So he didn't stay very long. He said they sent a plane for him. And so he was going in and he was going back out again. But really cool moment for Boomer. A long time coming. And not just for him. There are others, Bengals Hall of Famers or Bengals MVPs, who deserve that honor, and it's just been a bit of a delay from the franchise and from the organization. So congratulations to Booms. Yeah, so Boomer got inducted into the Ring of Honor. I dreamt about Taylor Swift. Great. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. The Cincinnati Bengals, even if they had gone 0-3, they wouldn't have been sunk, but the climb is that much more difficult and that much more challenging. The climb is much steeper if you do fall into an 0-3 hole. And right now it's only the Vikings who are sitting in that 0-3 hole that I feel like is a major surprise. The Bears and the Broncos may decombust before we get 2 months into the season. Heck, before we even complete the first month of the season. Not a major surprise there. The Carolina Panthers are rebuilding and they were left without their number one overall draft pick in Bryce Young this past weekend. Not that Andy Dalton is a slouch and he did move the ball, but the Panthers aren't expected really to be a challenger in the NFC South or for the playoffs. The one team that is, that's the Vikings. And the Bengals would have been in that same position had they not picked up their first win of the year. And I think we should give Boomer Esiason some credit. He's standing there a couple of layers up in a concourse at the stadium on Monday night, and he's got this gigantic stick like what they have on the show Survivor, and he is making sure the crowd is hyped up for the second half. Do we have audio of it? Okay. It's just a video. Sorry. I'm going to have to go and watch the video. I just saw him on TV, which was really cool. I wonder if he was mic'd up, though. That'd be awesome. So yay for Boomer and yay for the Bengals getting that first win, even though Joe Burrow was limited with the calf injury. As for the Vikings, their big challenge has been turnovers, and Kevin O'Connell has seen enough.
That's something that we're gonna fix one way or the other. Either guys are gonna do it, or we're gonna have to put other guys in the game that have ball security.
Oh, that certainly sounds like he is ready to bench guys. If that's what it comes down to, he is ready to bench guys. We're just gonna have to put other guys in the game if this continues. Ball security is paramount. It's our number one priority now, and I can imagine. When you're Kevin O'Connell and your team starts out 0-3 and only a handful of teams, and not since the Texans in 2018, so consider that, not since the league went to the 17-game format, has an 0-3 team made it to the playoffs, but also it hasn't happened big picture in the NFL since 2018. It's not a common occurrence. And O'Connell knows that they got to change things pronto.
Very, very frustrated. And our team is experiencing, and our coaches and players, we're experiencing a significant test right now. Trying to, have the mental toughness to overcome some very, very difficult results over the last, few weeks. And what we've got to do is find ways to continue evolving and changing our process to prepare to find the advantages we can to be at our best for these games.
Games. Sometimes our newsroom cuts off our coaches. It's like they had enough. I don't want to hear anything else. We're done. We're done, Kevin O'Connell. There's good news and there's bad news for the Vikings. The good news, or do you prefer the bad news first? Let's go bad news first. The bad news is they've lost two games at home. So of the three, two of them have been in Minneapolis. So that sucks because you've already wasted a couple of opportunities there, including the one they had to the Buccaneers in their season opener. The good news is this. They have not played any games inside the NFC North yet, which means everything they want is still in front of them. It's a lot easier to make up ground in your division when you're playing your direct competitors, right? It's a lot easier to put yourself in a position where even if you don't win the division outright, maybe you have the tie break, if that's what it comes down to. And yes, in the NFC, theoretically, the wild cards should be up for grabs, regardless of where you are right now. It's just that we look at the NFC Beast, the Eagles are 3-0, the Cowboys and the Commanders are both 2-1. Whether or not you believe in the Commanders, certainly the Cowboys are a real good team, and even without Trayvon Diggs, which was a stunner, losing him last week to an ACL, the Cowboys have a lot of talent. And are poised to make a nice run. So Eagles, Cowboys, Commanders, excuse me. Let's just say they all continue, or even two of them. I mean, you know that division last year had three playoff teams. And the NFC West. Cardinals may get better once Kyler Murray returns. I'm not so sure. I'm confident in that. But the Niners and Seahawks, they're picking up where they left off last season, both of them. So let's just say for the sake of argument, the East and the West each end up with one wild card. Well, then there's only one more to go around. But I do expect the Vikings to pick it up. As for the Cowboys, how much did that loss of Diggs in a practice midweek affect them in Arizona?
We had a number of things going on that were not normal, but at the end of the day, I've been part of weeks where the practice wasn't quite what you wanted it to be, and you played very well, and you had great weeks of practice where it didn't, it hasn't gone so well on Sunday. So I think just look at the whole thing, just keep breaking it down physically, mentally, and emotionally, staying true to how you believe you need to prepare for a game, and then more importantly, the in-game focus on, you know, the ebb and flow of the game.
The in-game focus on the ebb and flow of the game. All right. I got you, Mike McCarthy. Yeah, the Cowboys defense really, not that the offense was great, but the Cowboys defense wasn't what we would expect. And I'm sure there's part of that that features the loss of Trayvon Diggs, no doubt. Because Arizona opened up with scores on its first five drives and really gave up a ton of rushing yards. 222 rushing yards for the Cardinals. Not enough pressure on Josh Dobbs. Dallas, though, offensively was also a mess. 13 penalty flags, not all of those on the offense, but 13 penalty flags really hurt them. And then the offense did go 1 for 5 in the red zone. And I told you on last night's show that I couldn't believe what I was seeing in the second half with the Cowboys, because they four times got inside the 8-yard line and came away with 2 field goals, 6 points. That's it. So for all their work, they put themselves in position and they're knocking on the door. And there was an interception in the end zone. They turned it over on downs. And then there were 2 field goals. That's it. And so they did not capitalize on their opportunities. A lot of wasted and empty possessions. I wouldn't expect that to continue. So maybe there was a little bit of shell shock. Maybe they weren't mentally ready to go. But obviously, you can't fall behind in that division. So they've got to get that fixed. And that's about coaching and leadership and discipline. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Not sure which TDs we're trotting out for our touchdown of the week poll. We'll get to those this hour. But I do know that one of them might feature Mike Williams of the Chargers catching a deep ball from Keenan Allen. So the Chargers picked up their first win over the weekend. It was huge. Unfortunately, now Mike Williams is done for the year.
A source confirmed that he is out for the season with a torn ACL. Just so frustrating for the Los Angeles Chargers. One of their best weapons and really one of the better players at receiver, and certainly one of the highest paid over the course of the last several years. Someone Justin Herbert can always throw it up to and go get it. He will now miss the rest of the 2023 season, which could mean Quentin Johnston actually fits a similar mold, could be called on much earlier than anticipated.
Ian Rappaport on NFL Network and NFL Plus. Yeah, there's a lot of teams out there already dealing with some devastating injuries, but that's a tough one for Justin Herbert and the Chargers. Even as they get their first win, it comes with a stiff cost. And John Harbaugh and the Ravens, they know all about that, right? Because they've lost multiple starters. I know it happens every year, but it seems like this first 3 weeks of the season has been more punitive with more major injuries and more players that make a great impact and that are significant. And I don't mean to diminish the roles of others, only that, you know, if you lose a Trayvon Diggs or an Aaron Rodgers or a Nick Chubb, it's going to come back to bite you. It's going to change how you operate moving forward. And those are just a handful of examples. We've talked about others here too. We've got multiple quarterbacks that may or may not be available moving forward. So we'll get to that in QB News, the back half of the hour. On Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So good to have you with us. I'm tired. I don't know how you feel after your Monday. Waking up on a Tuesday morning, I'll just admit it. Heavy, and my brain is tired. So hopefully the show doesn't reflect that too drastically. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You gotta sleep fast.
No, I want to sleep for a long time. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
It's a Touchdown Tuesday on After Hours.
Firing for the end zone. Caught! Touchdown! Touchdown!
Takes it himself to the pylon.
One man to beat 10. He's gone.
They throw in the end zone. Touchdown. Made a guy miss. He's inside the 5. He's to the 3-2-1. Touchdown. Southern Salting into the end zone. Touchdown.
to cast your vote for the TD of the week, head to @AfterHoursCBS on Twitter or give us a call at 855-212-4227. The Miami Dolphins.
Berrios in motion. They pitch to A-Chain. Off the left side. 40, 50. He's gone. 30. Nobody's going to catch the A-Chain. Touchdown, Miami Dolphins.
Well, you want to see A-Chain speed at its best. What a day the rookie out of Texas A&M has had. He just outruns everybody. If you're wondering what a track meet looks like, you got a chance to see them all except Mr. Waddle today on just how fast this team is. He just runs past everybody.
Los Angeles Chargers.
Right at midfield, first and 10. And it's a screen to Keenan. Keenan, flea flicker. Oh, wide sideline. He's got him. To the 10, 5. Touchdown, Chargers. What can't the captain do?
He just went from captain to quarterback.
49-yard flea flicker. Touch actually was a lateral to Keenan.
Oh, double pass.
Yes, a double pass. Reverse pass. And they left Mike Williams on the screen. Mike gets it into the end zone, and the Chargers are up 20-10.
The Houston Texans.
This is going to be inside the 10. And this is dropped, picked up by Beck. Beck still going, running to the right side. Beck has some room, 25, 30, 35, 40. He's at the 50. He's at the 45 of Jacksonville. Beck across the 30, the 20, the 15, 10, 5. Are you kidding? Rock and roll. Touchdown, Houston.
The Green Bay Packers.
Three receivers left. Dobbs to the right once again. Taylor to the right side of Jordan Love in the shotgun. Takes the snap. Love throws right side back. Shoulder. Creeping grab. Romeo Dobbs. Touchdown. Green Bay Packers. Sensational throw and catch. Oh my goodness. They beat Isaac Yiadom, and the Packers have tied it at 17. Extra point pending. Extra point to give the Packers the lead for the first time this afternoon. Wow. What a fourth quarter.
All 18 points for the Green Bay Packers coming in the fourth quarter in a rally at Lambeau over the Saints after they trailed by 17 early in that quarter. And the roars you hear at Lambeau are now for Jordan Love and his offense. So do you believe the go-ahead chuck to Romeo Dobbs, the go-ahead touchdown, should be the TD of the week? That's one of our candidates with Wayne Larrivee and company on the Packers radio network. I'm hoping that because it was Aaron Rodgers worthy, Love's predecessor will give him the nod or at least text him back finally. Are you on board with Houston and the Texans getting the punt return? Actually, I think it was a kickoff return for a touchdown, wasn't it? Yeah, so kickoff return for a touchdown, even though it says punt in our poll. So I just want to know, before we tell people to vote, you're going to be changing that. So producer Jay is going to alter that really quickly. He'll take that poll down and then put it back up. But yeah, we talked about this on Sunday night. Beck, who's a fullback, bobbled the ball first and then picked it up and still was able to break five or six tackles and rumble his way 85 yards for a touchdown. And whoever keeps track of these things in the NFL, according to the history makers, the history books, it is the first kickoff return for a touchdown by a player that weighs as much as he does. What? That's just wrong. That's just wrong. Anyway, so that's Andrew Beck. You also had the Chargers radio network with Matt Smith. And yes, Keenan Allen taking the lateral pass from Justin Herbert and chucking it 46 yards deep to Mike Williams for the score. What a day Keenan Allen had. Chargers able to pick up their first win. And then the rookie, Devon A-Chan, is how he prefers to be.
Facts are facts. Like how contributing to employees' financial security makes them want to work harder for their company. In fact, according to a 2023 study by Principal, 87% of employers say that better employee financial security means employees are more engaged and productive at work. The fact of the matter is that employees want to feel financially secure in their future. So consider this. Principal helps you invest in your employees by providing customized benefits and retirement plans to help keep your employees more engaged and productive. When you take care of your team, they take care of business. That's a fact. Learn how Principal can help you find the right benefits and retirement plan for your team at principal.com/benefits. Products and services offered by member companies of the Principal Financial Group, Des Moines, Iowa. For important information, visit principal.com/disclosures.
Imagine you're looking at a balancing scale with everything you do for other people on one side and everything you do for yourself on the other side. If it isn't balanced, maybe it's time to spend a little more time on you. And therapy is a great place to start. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online who can help you find that balance and stick to it. Visit BetterHelp.com/positive to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/positive.
I'm here to tell you about Pom Pom at Home, where comfort meets elegance. Pom Pom at Home is offering 20% off site-wide for a limited time. See why so many of the top designers use Pom Pom's luxury easy care bedding. They have created a timeless, beautiful, coastal living look that incorporates subtle tones and natural fibers, offering a unique touch. Create your dream bed now. Get 20% off sheets, duvets, throws, and more right now at pompomathome.com. Easy to use, easy to love luxury bedding. Just enter code POMPOM at checkout.
Well, well, well. Shopping for a car?
Yep. Carvana made financing a car as smooth as can be.
Oh, yeah?
I got pre-qualified instantly and had real terms personalized just for me.
Doesn't get much smoother than that.
Well, I got to browse thousands of car options on Carvana, all within my budget.
Doesn't get much smoother than that.
It does. I actually wanted a car that seemed out of my range, but I was able to add a cosigner and found my dream car.
It doesn't get much...
Oh, it gets smoother. It's getting delivered tomorrow.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to get pre-qualified today.
Called Not a Chain, as you hear on the Dolphins Radio Network. He took to social media after a 4-touchdown performance, 70 points by the Dolphins offense. Devon took to social media to say he prefers to be called Not a Chain, but a Chan. So we should honor his wishes, even if it does ruin the call on the Dolphins Radio Network. I guess they'll have to adjust and amend that call. So vote for TD of the Week here momentarily. It'll be up on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, and also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We've also got your new video up on our YouTube channel, right? So you can make sure that you check that out on your own time. Haven't even had a chance to share it yet on social, but it is up there, and it does answer the questions that you've been peppering us with ever since you found out there was a wedding in the future of After Hours. So yeah, whether it's Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, look us up. Easy to find if you just Google the show. In fact, I was Googling our YouTube channel. I didn't have it bookmarked here on the work computer. And so I was Googling it, and I was realizing that there are people who ask questions about me, because you know how when you Google, some of the other frequently asked questions will pop up. Goodness, that was weird. Sometimes I do that, and I'll start to read the answers to the other questions. I'll Google gardening questions, or I don't know. I actually, with my half marathon that I was doing or planning on doing a Saturday in Tropical Storm Ophelia, the night before, I was Googling what to wear when you run a half marathon in the rain. I was trying to decide if I should layer or if I should wear my raincoat or what kind of socks I should wear. I knew I shouldn't wear cotton, but I wasn't sure exactly what kind of socks to wear. And so I was Googling it, and wouldn't you know, those questions pop up. What to wear in a half marathon? Should you wear socks? What kind of weather gear should you wear? So yeah, those are helpful. And apparently there are some about me on Google. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Now the poll is up. I'll retweet A-Law Radio, and you can vote for your TD of the Week. Speaking of that half marathon, I promised you the story. We'll get to some QB news coming up after the update. But thank you again for all of your encouragement. So many of you responded to the tweets, the photos, also the Facebook post that we put up. It was rough. I wish I could tell you that I sailed through with no issues whatsoever, but I did not. And it's too bad, because the course itself, along the Hudson River and through Liberty State Park, right behind the Statue of Liberty and directly across the Hudson River from Lower Manhattan, I can understand why thousands of people sign up for this race. There were 4,000 people registered Saturday. I don't know if that many showed up, but there were thousands. All right. The start line, it took me 7 or 8 minutes to get across the start line once the very first runner started moving. It was a long wait to get up to the start line, and there were a lot of traffic jams, if you will, where you're running through narrow streets or you're running through this narrow, almost alleyway, and there's water on one side, water tables set up, so runners are crossing in front of you to try to get water, and you have to be careful. And then there were places that were flooded out as well in the state park. So, it was treacherous. Had to be real careful that I didn't slip. There were a couple places that were pretty slippery. But by far the toughest part of this was the fact that on the back half of the race, so say the last 6 miles, right? So a half marathon is 13.1 miles. On the back half, after you had spent the first 6.5 or the first 7 miles running south and west away from the shoreline and away from the Newport neighborhood, which doesn't matter to you, but the neighborhood where we started this half marathon, you were running south and west, inland a little bit, and down to where you get into the state park. So you're running with the wind at your back. But then you come around the point, the southernmost point of the state park, and you turn, and this is where you're directly behind the Statue of Liberty. People in driving torrential rains, people were trying to stop and take selfies with the Statue of Liberty. First of all, it's her back end. And second of all, your photos have got to be, your phones are completely drenched, but your photos have got to be covered with rain spots. I didn't even bother. So as you come around the southernmost point and you turn north and east along the shoreline, you're going directly into the wind. And on Saturday with Ophelia, the winds were up to 40 miles per hour. They were gale force winds. So steadily between 20 and 30 miles per hour blowing right at us. But the gale force, the gusts were up near 40 miles per hour. And the next 3 to 4 miles are almost directly along the Hudson River into those winds. So there were times where it felt like I was running in place. Or really not moving at all. I just put my head down. I was wearing a hat, so it shielded my face a little bit. Just put my head down and tried to swing my arms and keep moving through that wind. I get to the 10-mile point, so you finally get out of the wind a little bit, where you start to snake in and out of this neighborhood in Jersey City where the half marathon finishes. I get out of the neighborhood, and I see the sign for 10 miles. Oh my gosh, are you kidding me? We still have 3 more to go. And I was out of energy at that point, having to battle the wind for as long as we did. And it just continued to rain. And when you're running into the wind, especially when it's driving the rain right at you, there's no way to stay dry. So at this point, with 3 miles to go, every part of me is soaked. I can feel the squishiness in my shoes. I was trying not to move my toes around so they wouldn't rub against each other. But both sets of socks, even though they were dry wick, dry fit, whatever socks, they were completely soaked. My feet were wet. My shoes were squishy. I managed to stay out of the mud most of the time, but a couple times ran into mud as well because you couldn't avoid it. And then I had 3 layers on. I had polyester kind of tank top, again, supposed to repel and reject water and being soaked. Then I had a long sleeve dry fit shirt on over that. And then my lightweight nylon rain gear, which was a windbreaker. Oh, it didn't matter. After you get out of those winds with the driving rain coming right at you, and it rained the entire 2.5 hours that I was running. I mean, it was raining even as we were standing in line. So you're almost soaked before you even started running. So by the time you get to that 10-mile point, no part of you is dry. And so your pants are cold. My yoga pants were cold. I was rubbing against them and feeling like, oh, no, that's just sticky and it's icky. So there were two things going on in my brain. It was almost like the angel, the devil on my shoulder. So one voice is telling me, this is ridiculous. just stop running. This is stupid. Just go back to your car. You've got a dry change of clothes, a dry a pair of socks and shoes in your car. Just go back to your car. Quit this. This is stupid. No one would think less of you if you stopped running 10 miles into a half marathon where you're drenched and where the winds are blowing in your face at 35 to 40 miles per hour. But the other voice, the angel on my shoulder, is reminding me, you keep running, you finish more quickly. You keep running, you get to the finish line, and you can go directly back to your car. So it was sheer willpower the last 3 miles. And every now and then you'd come around a bend or a curve in the neighborhood, and again, that blast of wind. I will say this, though, because I continued running and did not stop the whole time, I stayed warm. The second I stopped running, and I do mean within seconds of crossing the finish line, grabbing my medal, and they kind of gave you those aluminum wraps that you can put around you. At that point, it didn't matter, though, because every part of me was wet. It was so funny. Some woman responded to my photo on Facebook, I think it was, and said, "Boy, you look dry." No. I mean, I had that aluminum wrap over me, so it was maybe giving me some insulation, but there was no part of me that was dry. No part of me. I got back to the parking garage, and people are just stripping off their wet clothes in the parking garage behind their vehicles, which is what I did, too, to try to get into my car and then get... I had a towel, a couple towels, actually, and I was able to put on my dry clothes after I stripped off the wet stuff. But yeah, I could have wrung out my shirt. My socks were completely dripping. My hat had water running off the front of it. I mean, it was rough. I don't think I'll ever do that again. But my seventh half marathon was in a tropical storm, and I can say, if nothing else, I ran the entire way. My time was not good. It might have been the slowest half marathon I've ever run, pretty darn close to it, but I did finish it. So, yeah, the photo that you see on social is taken seconds after I crossed the finish line, and I was already cold, but I had to fake my smile and hold up my medal so you could see it. I do not recommend it. It was brutal. It really was, but thank you for all of your notes of encouragement and for letting me know that you were rooting for me and cheering me on. That does mean a lot. It's awesome. Gonna try to run that race again when it's warm and when it's dry. Someone else said to me, would you rather have the pouring down rain in a tropical storm instead of heat and humidity? Yeah, probably. So I guess there's another silver lining to the whole thing. But you guys are awesome. Thank you for, again, thank you for responding. Thank you for the tweets and the Facebook messages. I'm here. And I don't know if my voice suffered any. It still feels a little mottled, but I didn't lose it or anything like that. I did a lot of farmer's blows, though, I'll tell you that much, because the nose was constantly running, constantly. I may or may not have accidentally done a farmer's blow into another guy who was running by me. I tried to look every time I did it, but whatever. We were all wet anyway, so what's the difference? Just rude. Sorry for being rude. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Hurry back to throw. And it is. Is it lost? Oh, my goodness, it's lost.
Back from under center, steps back, throws the fade.
Cooper Kupp's got it! Touchdown, L.A.!
Burrow back to throw, looking, firing deep for Chase in the end zone.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
got it!
Yeah.
Touchdown, Joe Burrow and the Bengals!
Mahomes fires for the end zone, caught! Touchdown, Kansas City!
Hand off to Eckler again, no, Herbert keeps it, end zone, touchdown, Chargers! Herbert with his second of the day.
Here's the snap. Josh going to keep it himself and run it again inside the five. Into the end zone. Touchdown, Buffalo. Josh Allen, 9-yard touchdown run. The Bills respond and then some.
It's time for QB News on After Hours.
A lot of it revolving around injuries. We'll get to Monday Night Football and those four quarterbacks coming up after the top of the hour. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio and our QB News brought to you by Wesley Financial. Are you stuck in a timeshare and want out? Contact Wesley Financial Group now and get a free timeshare exit information kit.
When you need to know what's happening, it's time to get in the huddle.
Nobody's picking the Colts to win the Super Bowl, so let's just go learn, right?
Well, this is always going to happen. Jim Irsay's calling all the shots there, and the honky-tonk man didn't draft this kid where they drafted this kid to have him look great in practice and look awesome running the scout team You know what I mean? But yeah, let's play this Minshew cat or whatever on Sunday. Like, no way.
Listen and subscribe to In the Huddle, available on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
Can I get a refill, please?
No one wants to get sidelined by COVID-19, including me. I've got my work, my family. I want to be able to keep my plans. I'm getting this season's COVID-19 shot. It helps protect against COVID-19, which can cause severe illness and hospitalization. Learn about eligibility and schedule your COVID-19 shot on the CDC site vaccines.gov. Sponsored by Pfizer and BioNTech.
Oh, look who's here.
At WesleyFinancialGroup.com. We knew that the Saints had lost their starting quarterback in the third quarter. So Derek Carr, he was in the hospital. We knew that. He had taken some tests at the at Lambeau Field, at the stadium, but then went to the hospital and did not return. Jameis Winston came into the game, after which the Saints never scored again. Dennis Allen, what's the latest on your star QB?
Derek's got a sprained AC joint. We'll evaluate him as he goes throughout the week. This week, I think we dodged a bullet there in terms of anything of real, significance. I think we're kind of saying week to week, but again, he felt better today than he did, yesterday. So we're not making any decisions today. We're not ruling anything out. We'll see where he's at as the week goes on.
All right, so we knew that Joe Burrow was day-to-day. He played on Monday night. Derek Carr is now day-to-day. And guess what? The Saints are hosting the Buccaneers next week, a divisional game in the NFC South. What about Jimmy Garoppolo? Well, he's in concussion protocol, something we didn't find out until after the Raiders had lost on Sunday night to the Steelers. He was unavailable to the media because of concussion protocol. So, Josh McDaniels, what happens if Jimmy G can't play in week 4?
I think we'll try to do the right thing for the team this week for sure, no matter what it is, whatever that ultimately ends up being. If part of that, I we're not going to use this like it would be a preseason game. You know what I mean? So if the best thing for the team would be to do something down that road, then we would discuss that and consider it.
So we are going to wait and see about Jimmy Garoppolo as well. So there you've got two more quarterbacks that are major question marks. Now, I think that the Jets would like there to stop being questions about Zach Wilson. At this point, he's still very much a go, according to Robert Saleh.
He's our unquestioned quarterback, guys. Like, as long as he continues to show the way his preparation, the way he's been practicing, and even in these games, guys, like, he's not the reason why we lost yesterday. It's always a team effort.
All right, so Robert Saleh back to defending Zach Wilson. And the conditions were bad. The Patriots offense not much better. But a lot of clamoring for a different QB, like potentially Matt Ryan. You know that he's doing an analyst job now. And he was a guest on CBS Sports on Monday. And he was asked about his interest in the Jets job.
No, not on my end. I'm really enjoying, what I'm doing, working with Andrew and Tiki and AJ. They've been fun to work with. But, to clear it up, obviously my agent is one of the best at what he does. Todd France is incredible. And he wouldn't be doing his job if he wasn't looking into certain situations. But he and I talked and, I got no interest in doing that right now.
So Matt, of course, is working with the NFL on CBS, and the report was that his agent or that he had reached out to the Jets to let them know he was interested in the job. But he tells CBS Sports he has no interest. That's not the right situation for him, and that his agent might be doing his due diligence, but he's not going to New York. Okay. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.